Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate the power of Pentecost. And I want you to know that Destiny Church is a non-denominational church, okay? Which basically means we're not exclusive, we're inclusive. Like, there's a lot of different nationalities, faiths, there's a lot of different denominations. Like, we're inclusive. We want everybody to be a part. We're not Baptists, we're not Methodists, we're not Church of God, Church of My God, we're not Assemblies of God, we're not Nazarene, we're not Lutheran, we're non-denominational, but we are Pentecostal. And we're charismatic Pentecostal. We're excited about what God's doing, and we've never tried to hide the fact that we're a Pentecostal church. And a lot of people try to hide it and disguise it, you know, and you would never know by their actions that they're Pentecostal. And I think it's because a lot of people don't really understand what it means to be Pentecostal. They think it's just speaking in tongues. And that's such a small part of being Pentecostal. It's an important part. It's a precious gift. It's a precious tool. But it is not the only part of being Pentecostal. That's just part of it. I can't understand why people would try to hide the best thing that has ever happened to them. Being Pentecostal is the best thing that, other than salvation, the day that I got saved, when I got saved, man, that's the best gift anybody can receive is the gift of salvation. But other than the gift of salvation, the best thing that's ever happened to me is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's the receiving of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it's so important to me. I want everybody to be Pentecostal. I do, man. Pentecostal means seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking everybody to come to our church. I'm just praying that everybody would receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we believe in being a Pentecostal church, what we believe is that the gifts of the Spirit are working in our lives and in our church. That's what it means to be Pentecostal. That the gifts of the Spirit are working in our lives. Listen, there are Pentecostal Catholics. I'm telling you, there's a charismatic group of Catholics, about 80,000 of them or more, that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and that pray in the Holy Spirit. There are Pentecostals, there are Catholics, there's Baptists that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. I married one. My wife, we call her a Bapticostal. But she was raised Baptist and she's never left that faith. She just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, everybody needs to be freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just got another text from my sister, and I'm going to do this before I go any further, okay? I'm going to, I know I see Austin here, and I know there's another sheriff that's here. We have several sheriffs that attend our church, ladies, men, Uncle Rick and Brenda, their daughter Mariah. Last night, worked 15 hours on the front lines in Columbus. My sister just texted me before I came up, said, please pray for Jamie, who is my nephew, my sister's little boy, that the riots are breaking out in Lorraine, and he's on the front lines. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you guys do it. I can't even imagine what it's like to stand there with people screaming and throwing things at you and not to defend yourself. Jesus did it. You can do it. You'll be able to keep doing it. But I want, if you're an officer, would you stand? Or if you have somebody in your family that is an officer or you're really close to an officer, you guys stand up if you would. Uncle Rick, Aunt Brenda, amen. Stretch forth your hand right now, and I just want to pray right now for our police officers. I just felt an unction of the Holy Spirit. God, we cover these men and women, Lord. We cover these that are standing on the front lines, facing this hatred, Lord, facing this resistance, Lord. And I just pray your protection. I pray your strength over them. Give them supernatural strength all over the country, Lord, those that are standing up right now and declaring no to the enemy. I just pray your peace upon them. In Jesus' name, protect them and keep them safe. And we give you the glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. We are all for the protesters, but we are all against those that are rioting and destroying and speaking of violence. You know, it's a terrible time that we're facing right now, but the answer is the power of Pentecost. The answer of unity is the power of the Holy Spirit on the earth. I want everybody to be freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Today, Pentecost is Pentecost Sunday, and we consider that the birthing of the church. And we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we read in the Bible, we see that Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit. This is what it means to be Pentecostal, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There are 9 gifts that Paul talks about, but there are many more in the Bible. There are many more in the New Testament. The 9 gifts that the Apostle Paul taught us on were 3 gifts of revelation and information. These are to be active in believers' lives. They're the gift of wisdom. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. These are revelation gifts and information gifts. And we as the body of Christ need to be pursuing the gifts of the Spirit to be functioning in our daily lives. There's 3 manifestations of the gifts of power and demonstration. It's the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gift of healings. These are all gifts of the demonstrations of power. And when we're seeking God and we're saying we're Pentecostal, see, some of you don't even know what Pentecostal is. You think it's just talking in tongues. No, that's not just, that is an important part. But working in the gifts of the Spirit is the key to being a Pentecostal. That you're working in wisdom and knowledge and the discerning of spirits. That you're operating in a gift of faith. That you're working miracles and healings. Listen, everybody in this room that has hands has the ability to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Everybody in this building right now, everybody watching this podcast, you say you're Pentecostal, then the gifts of the Spirit need to be manifesting in your life. It's a daily, any church that you go to where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not flowing and they're not operational, when they've been sequestered to the back room, when they're put in a little space somewhere and say, that's not for today. I'm telling you right now, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. There are 3 gifts of inspiration and edification. These are the gifts of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of tongues and interpretation. We had a manifestation of the gifts of tongues and interpretation in the first service. It is flowing frequently in our body. It should be flowing in our lives. And if you're going to say I'm Pentecostal, I am Spirit-filled, these gifts need to be flowing in your heart and in your life. Listen to these gifts, because there are 25 different ones mentioned in the Bible. In the New Testament, obviously the gift wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues of interpretation. But listen to the rest of these: helping, the gift of helps, administration, the ministry of service, teaching, encouragement, giving. Somebody walked up to me just a few minutes ago and handed me $1,000 and said, "This goes to the kids for kids camp." That's a gift of giving. That is a gift of giving that is in this person's life. They're constantly looking for, how can I give? How can I be a part? How can I support? These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Leadership, the gift of leadership. What Pamela and Tim are displaying to these young people, it's the gift of leadership. What I'm doing on this pulpit as a pastor, I'm displaying the gift of leadership, and I want to lead us to be a Spirit-filled church, baptized in the Holy Spirit, fresh and anew. There's mercy, the gifts of mercy, apostleship, evangelism, pastoral guidance, grace, willing to face martyrdom. To be a martyr, these are gifts. The gift of intercession, hospitality, celibacy. These are all gifts that are available for the body of Christ. And if you're going to say to me, I'm a Spirit-filled believer, then these gifts need to be manifesting in your life. They need to be operating on a day-to-day basis. I don't understand people that have tried to hide the fact that we're Pentecostal. A lot of people try to hide it, but we are not. We are Pentecostal, and I want everybody to be there. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And some people don't even know what that looks like. We say it, we talk about it, but what does it look like? I talked 3 weeks ago about what now? After the resurrection, Jesus said, go back to Galilee. Go back to the beginning. Redo your first love. Go redo your first love. Go back to Galilee. And then last week, I talked about what now? After that, you shall receive power. And then today, I want to talk to you about receiving Pentecost. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus with his disciples, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. And look at verse 1:8, chapter Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfast towards the heaven as he went up, behold, two men by them in white, stood by them in white apparel. In verse number 11, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up for you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up to heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem, to the mount of, which is called Olive, and which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And they went there and they tarried for power from on high. Acts 2, verse number 1, flip the page. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated. And there appeared to them a divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Bow your heart with me and let's pray. Father, help me to preach with clarity the move of God that is coming upon the earth. Help me to illuminate with clarity your word and create a hunger that cannot be quenched with earthly means. Help me create a hunger in the hearts of the young people and the adults in this room to know that there is so much more for us to experience. And God, I pray for divine protection and provision in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is Holy Spirit? The King James often refers to Holy Spirit as Holy Ghost. What is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like when the Holy Spirit is poured out? This thing started in an upper room with about 120 people who had heard the message, go tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power. And they got in a room and they began to pray and they began to worship and they began to call upon the Lord. And when they got in unity and at the appropriate time, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit into that room and 120 people birthed a church that has now swept the entire globe. What started with 120 people is now over 600 million charismatic Pentecostal believers on the earth right now, and it's not slowing down. It's not going to slow down. There is a great increase. There is a great outpouring promised in Joel chapter 2 that in the last days he would pour his spirit out on all flesh and sons and daughters would prophesy. This is what we are getting ready to experience and are experiencing right now on the earth. This is what tarrying before a service, that pre-party, what'd you call it? Pre-game, that pre-game thing of getting here and seeking God, and after a service is over, is tearing at an altar and saying, God, I receive the power of the Holy Spirit to bring a change to an earth that needs a shaking, that needs a revival, that needs an outpouring. And God, I know that you're going to do it again. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. He's available for you. It doesn't matter if you're poor or if you're rich. He's available for you. Every nation on the earth has been impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. In third world countries, the power of the Holy Spirit is being released. All over the world, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Students are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Teachers are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's affecting every nation of the earth. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter what you look like. If you've got a hunger for God, He will pour His Spirit out on you, and you can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Even skeptics have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The whole earth has experienced the Holy Spirit, but there's still so many people, even in our church today, so many people that say they go to this church that don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit or understand what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. However, I feel Him. I can feel when the atmosphere shifts. I can feel when there's a change in the environment. I feel the Holy Spirit, but He's not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is not a force, although He comes with force and He has the ability for force. The Holy Spirit is not mystical and spooky and somewhere sitting in a corner over in the corner of a room trying to figure out what He's going to do now. I'm telling you, He's not mystical and spooky and trying to scare people. Even though there are many that are skeptical, the outpouring of God is a person. This is not an outpouring of a what or an it. He's not an energy or a feeling. Write this down. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus. At Destiny Church, we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit of God. They're not three different beings. They are one God manifest in three different persons. One God manifest in three persons. You say, I can't comprehend that. That's because it's not for your natural mind. It is a spiritually discerned thing. When you understand you are a spirit, you live in a body, you possess a soul, but you can't separate me from any of those. It's impossible for me to stand up here in just a few minutes and teach all that the Trinity means. People have argued about doctrine, the doctrine of Trinity and Unitarianism for decades, and it would be impossible for me to think that somehow I can stand up here and bring clarity to all of it. It is a spiritual thing. It is supernatural, and it cannot be understood in the natural mind. The Trinity, one God, manifests in three persons. I believe God the Father, I believe in God the Father, a heavenly Father, Abba Father, the creator of everything. God, I believe He has a Son, Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer. You can't separate Jesus from God. Even though they were different, but they were, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. We believe in the Son, Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior. And we also believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter or the Helper. We believe they're equally God, distinct, yet all three in one. The person of Jesus is no less, the person of the Holy Spirit is no less God than Jesus. Jesus is no less God than the Father. They are all equal, yet distinct. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotion. Is this confusing you? You have to grasp this in your heart so that you can understand what it means to be Spirit-filled. Many people in church today still don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Listen, write this down, okay? I told you to write down that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. And I also want you to write down, the Holy Spirit moves and has a voice. The Holy Spirit moves and has a voice. Most places He's not talked about. Most places He's not allowed to move. Most places don't listen to what he's saying. I'm just telling you, as a person, the Holy Spirit moves upon you. He speaks through you, and he speaks to you. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out without form, void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit moves. It is a movement of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. He said, listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Don't harden your hearts. The Holy Spirit moves and the Holy Spirit speaks. And any of you here right now are watching this service who are not allowing the Holy Spirit to move upon you or not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Any church that does not allow the Holy Spirit to move or the Holy Spirit to speak is grieving the Holy Spirit. And your Bible tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. The reason people grieve and quench the Holy Spirit is a lack of teaching and understanding. We don't know and understand who the Holy Spirit is. In the Old Testament, when you read about the Holy Spirit, he would come upon individuals. He would come upon them and he would rest upon them. And supernatural things would happen. Power, strength, victory come through them and bring healing and health. He empowered Old Testament believers. And we see the Holy Spirit moving in unique ways. All through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that the Holy Spirit's role is about redemption. It's about bringing forth the power of Jesus Christ on the earth. Here's the way I want to look at it. Here's what I wrote down, and here's what I got. So I want you to listen to this. The Father thought it. The Father thought it. The Son brought it. He bought it. The Son bought it, paid for it with his life. The Father thought it. The Son bought it. The Spirit brought it. The devil fought it, and by faith, I caught it. And I'm telling you, by faith, you can catch it. Hey, that's a wrap, man. You can do that. The Father thought it. The Son brought it, bought it. The Spirit brought it. The devil fought it, and by faith, I caught it. Yeah. Listen, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the activeness and the moving of the Holy Spirit, because of the power that has been released on the earth, God is not sitting over somewhere in a corner popping Prozac trying to figure out how he's going to get rid of the coronavirus. He's not sitting in a corner drinking a glass of wine trying to calm down, figure out, how am I going to calm all these riots that have broke out all over the land? He's not nervous. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been released on the earth, and he is a spirit of power and might, and he brings healing to a land. He sets the captive free. He delivers those that are in bondage, and he's on the earth now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the greatest power on the earth. I don't care who controls the House. I don't care what majority is in charge. I don't care who controls the Senate. I don't care who the president is. They are not able to fix this problem. This problem will only be resolved when my people humble themselves and pray, when we turn from our wicked ways, when we humble ourselves and acknowledge God. He said he would heal the land. I'm here to tell you, it is a day of Pentecost. It is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you and I can engage in the power. Amen. Politicians can't fix this. It's going to take an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God on the earth. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he created man, a triune being, a spirit living in a body, possessing a soul. This is the picture of heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit on the earth, demonstrating his supernatural power and his supernatural love, that he can love the unlovable and he can love the violent and he can turn their hearts to him. You say, how does it look like? Like, what does all that look like? Look at, just take and picture an egg. An egg has a shell. It also has an egg white. It also has an egg yolk. They're three in one. If you separate the egg white and you order a scrambled egg with egg white, is it eggs? Yes. If you like the yolk and you just you cook the yolk, is it an egg? Yes. Is that shell an egg? Yes. It is three in one. It's the Trinity. It's the picture of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. When you look up in the sky and you see that great ball of fire up there, that sunlight, you see that big round red ball up there. That is called the sun, the S-U-N. And let me tell you something, it is a tangible place. It is a place. But when you see the clouds come over and the sun becomes through those clouds, you see those beams of rays. You see the light. We got light out there right now. It's daylight. Why? Because the light of the sun. And when we step out these doors, we're going to feel the heat. They are three. They are all the effects of the sun. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are equal with power. And they are equal with might. And they are here for you and I to engage with. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, I'm not going to read it, but in that text, John 14, 1 through 13, about six or seven times, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. He's repeating it over and over. I'm going away. I'm leaving. But he could see it in their faces. They did not want him to leave. They didn't want him to leave. They wanted him to stay with them, because in John chapter 2, he turned the water into wine. In John chapter 4, he heals the nobleman's son. In John chapter 5, he heals the man at the pool of Bethesda. He took two fish and five loaves and he fed a whole multitude. In John chapter 6, Jesus walks on the water. In John chapter 7, he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stands up and he cries out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the Spirit has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 8, he delivers a woman who's caught in the very act of adultery. In John chapter 9, he spits in the dirt and he makes an eye socket and he puts it in a blind man's eye. In John chapter 11, he calls Lazarus from the dead. His friend Lazarus, he says, hey buddy, it's time. Get out of that grave. They didn't want him to leave. But Jesus knew he was limited by his human flesh. He knew that he was limited to be in one place at one time. He was in a fleshly body, and he knew, I need to go so that I can release the Holy Spirit to the earth. I can get it going from all over the place. He could only heal one at a time. He could only be on one mountain at a time. He said, but if I go away, in John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. He said, I'm going to give you the hand up. You no longer will be contained to one place. The Holy Spirit can move through you and touch and heal and deliver. The Holy Ghost is the helper. Everybody say comforter. In the Greek word, that word helper or comforter is the word parakletos. And it means called to one's side. Called to one's aid. One who pleads another's cause before a judge. A plunder. Counsel for defense, a legal assistant, an advocate. Isn't that Jesus? Well, the Holy Spirit said he will be your comforter. He'll be Jesus for you. He will point to Jesus. Jesus said, I will always point to the Father, and the Holy Spirit will always point to me, because we are one. He said, I'm just like Jesus. The same power. You look at me, you say, Pastor Greg, why are you so excited? Like, why do you preach with such passion all the time? Why don't you just slow down? You don't understand. I got the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in my mortal body, and it quickens me with passion to say, I want everybody to get it. I want everybody to get hungry for God. I want passionate people crying out for the living God to infuse their lives with power. When Jesus left, he gave us the advantage. He gave us the advantage. It took me years to figure out that WWF wrestling was fake. It took me years. I thought, man, that's real, man. It's real. There might be some fake stuff, but that stuff's real. And I remember my dad used to take me, man. We used to go way back, watch Haystack Calhoun and Johnny Powers. I know all them old cats, man. We used to go watch them wrestle all the time. And I thought it was so real, man. And I'm going to tell you something. I know where they got it from. They got it from the Bible. Because Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. And I picture Satan going, I got him on the first day, second day. And then all of a sudden on the third day, wham, he just flipped him off. Said, no, you ain't got me. That's where they got it from. You see them wrestling all the time. They're going to pin them and hold them down. They're like, one, two. Like, hit the hand. No, they got to wait until they flip that guy off of them and say, three. No, he's good. Listen, when Jesus was being beaten and his beard was being ripped out and they were spitting on him and it was Satan just attacking him to no end. And Satan said, or Jesus said, no, if I could just get to the ring, if I could just get to the other side, my Father's going to send the Comforter. He's going to come and clear the ring. He's going to come and make everything all right because he's greater than the force of this earth. He's greater than the power of the darkness. And Jesus tagged the Holy Spirit and said, now the Holy Spirit is on the earth and he's ready to go to war for you. The Holy Spirit of God is here. It cracks me up that people are so afraid of the Holy Spirit, afraid they're going to move. Like so afraid. You know, Pastor, I want the Holy Spirit, but does that mean I'm going to like fall on the floor? Do I have to fall on the floor to get the Holy Spirit? Is it going to cause me to shake? I don't want to shake. I don't want that. If that's the Holy Spirit, I don't want that. Are you serious? You didn't worry about shaking in the clubs? Huh? You up there twerking and wobbling and doing all that stuff and talking about, oh my God, get to church. Oh Lord, don't let the Holy Spirit follow me. And I fall on the floor. We used to jump on the floor and do the worm and walk off. I know what you guys do, man. I've been there. I'm just telling you, we got to stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit. This is the power for the church. It's the power for the believers. It is that thing that causes you to move. Some of you, it'd do you good to move a little bit. Wobbling and shaking and then getting dead. It's the supernatural power of God released on the earth. You can't get deliverance on your own. You can't get breakthrough. You can't get set free from addiction. It is only through the power of the Holy Ghost of God that comes through and sets a man free. It is Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Help us on the way. Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard, help us on the way. We need to run the devil out of our lives. We've got to run the devil out of our nation. We gotta rip down those walls. We gotta rip down the walls of racism. Yeah, we got to rip down the walls of hatred and bitterness and injustice. I stand with them. I say, you know what? I'm all in. I'm not all in for the violence. I'm not all in for all that stuff. But I'm all in for unity. I'm all in for the Holy Spirit bringing unity and saying, hey, we are one people and one church, and there is one God. His name is Jesus. His name is Jehovah God. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he's on the earth right now, ready to engage us into warfare. We need the land healed, church. We need the land healed. It is to your advantage that I go away. And if I go away, I'll send the helper. I'll send the comforter. You can't do this life without him. You can't do this life without him. You cannot live supernatural without a supernatural God. He's supernatural. Everybody stand up on your feet with me, please. Here's the truth. We Pentecostals, that's me, that's most of you that are in this room, and most of you that are watching online, we Pentecostals have put so much emphasis on speaking in tongues. And it's important. Jude says you build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. But if you read 2 Chronicles 7:14, when he said, if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he'd heal the land. If you read Joel chapter 2, when he said, he said, in the last days I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, dream dreams, see visions. You want to know the proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Dream dreams. See visions. Let's just make it simple. This is it. Get dreams in your heart. Get vision in your heart. Operate in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm tired of Christians telling me they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues and go around cussing people out. Go around with anger and hatred in your heart. You want to know if you're full of the Holy Spirit? You want to know if today you're a baptized believer, Pentecostal, charismatic? You want to know what it is? It's love in your heart, peace in your heart, joy in your heart, goodness in your heart, patience in your heart, long-suffering in your heart. Huh? Kindness in your heart. Is the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life? And if the fruit of the Spirit is not manifest in your life, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can speak in tongues. Go through and find where's the list of requirements to speak in tongues. Well, some did, some didn't. Yeah, well, those that want to can. Every believer can speak in tongues. You can't find anywhere that says they can't. There's a gift of tongues. There's a gift of tongues and interpretation. But they laid hands on them and said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They laid hands on them. They prayed. They received the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Everybody gets to. Not everybody chooses to. That's just good teaching. That's amen. Amen. I'll just amen myself. It's just good. And I got believers that just say, well, I just don't speak in tongues. So well, why not? You can. It's not spooky and mystical. Jude says, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. It is a private thing for you. This is for me. You can't understand me when I pray in tongues. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray. I'm going to Jay's house after this is over. I don't know what to pray. I'm just going to speak healing and declare God's word. God is the healer. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to walk in the power of healing. And we lay hands upon this house and we declare healing in this house. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray in tongues. Because I don't know what else to say. And some of you are missing out on an opportunity to pray in a heavenly prayer language. You're missing out because you are intimidated because you don't know enough about it, or because somebody taught you that it was already passed away or it wasn't for everybody. And I'm here to tell you that's keeping you in bondage. Just let the Holy Spirit speak in you and through you. It's just real simple. This isn't for the person next to you. This is for you. Everybody just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just lift your hands. I want you right now just to begin praying in your earthly language. Pray for our nation. Pray for your family. Pray for your health. Ask God to give you divine health in your physical body. Come on. Open your mouth and just speak in your natural earthly language. Come on, if you're Spanish, pray in Spanish. Just pray. Whatever language you speak, speak in your earthly language. Come on, lift your voices. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're protecting our police officers. Thank you, Lord, that you're protecting our families. Thank you, Lord, that you're watching over the innocent bystanders, Lord. You're watching over people. You're touching people. Thank you for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this room. Thank you for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in this room right now in Jesus' name. Now, everybody stop praying. Now pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. You say, I don't know what to pray. Just don't pray English. Don't pray a language you know. Just pray in a heavenly language. Come on. You can't make this stuff up. You just do it. Out of your spirit, you just hear a sound in your head and pray it. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Pray in the Spirit. Come on. If it's just one syllable, one word, if it's a whole language, just pray. This is for you. Keep it to yourself. Don't get loud and try to outshout everybody. This is just you and Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to fresh baptize many people in this room right now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue in Jesus' name right now. Okay, everybody stop. Pray in English. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I thank you for the power to receive. I thank you for clarity of understanding of what this is, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We let a fresh wave of the Holy Spirit sweep over this place in Jesus' name. Okay, everybody stop. Now again, pray in the Spirit. Come on, pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen. In the morning, when you wake up, before you go to bed tonight, thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering me to live like Jesus. Thank you that you are just like Jesus. You're my advocate. You're my intercessor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What are you doing? You're acknowledging the Holy Spirit. You're empowering him in your life. You're allowing him to move and to speak. When you wake up in the morning, it's just you. You're in the shower, whatever. Start praying in your heavenly prayer language. What are you doing? You're activating the Spirit of God in you. Activating it. Amen. I want everybody just to ask the Lord to give you dreams, give you visions. God, you said in the last day's outpouring, not only would they prophesy, not only would they speak in tongues, but Lord, they would get dreams and visions. God, speak clearly to our hearts. We desire an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth. We desire a fresh outpouring of healing through our hands. We desire the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We will not resist. We will not hold back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord.